I'd like to say Happy New Year. 2025 is here. In terms of our calendar year, we have closed out an old year, 2024, and we have walked into the door of a new year, 2025, with great expectations of God's blessing and favor. My prayer for each and every one of you and your families is that you will find a deeper connection to God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The start of a new year is a special time to reset, refocus, realign, reflect, renew, redirect. It's a time to reset our hearts, refocus our priorities, and realign ourselves with God's purposes for our lives. And so as we walk through the threshold of a new year, let us remember this truth. The same God that was faithful in 2024 will be faithful in 2025. He is not just the God of our past, but the God of our present. He is the God of our future, and he invites us to journey with him into a year of purpose, promise, and possibility, which I am just looking forward to. Before we dive into the message, please allow me to share this blessing with you. You're used to me offering this blessing at the end of the worship service. I will continue to do that, but would like to offer an amended version of that priestly blessing from Numbers upon us right now. As we enter 2025, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his peace rest upon you, even in uncertainty, and may his love guide your every step. May this be a year of spiritual growth, restoration, and new opportunities to experience God's love and grace. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us into a new year. We are grateful for your faithfulness in the year behind us and for the hope and promise of the year ahead. Lord, we surrender the burdens, sins, and struggles of the past year into your hands. We ask you to fill us with your Spirit so we may walk boldly in the new season with hearts open to your leading. Speak to us today. May this message today transform us and prepare us to live fully for you in 2025. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you so desire to read along with me, I'm going to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men or magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means just among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler, and who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring the word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of him went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening the treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Well, since we have started the new year, there's only one thing for us to do right now. That's get ready for Christmas. It will be here in no time. I say this every year, and every year we laughed, and we blink an eye, and there's Christmas music on the radio. Last year, was a good year for our church. We actually experienced some steady growth. Our attendance on Sunday mornings, consistently good. There has been some good energy and great vibe in this place. Our church continues to serve this community in significant and unwavering ways through food assistance, financial assistance, and educational support. More importantly, men, women, children are giving their lives to Jesus. We had several baptisms last year. Groups are gathering together regularly for connect groups, for Bible studies, and support groups. We've been blessed with a tremendous asset, this building. The Reynoldsburg Church of Christ has its roots and founding in the mid-1800s. And now, in the 21st century, 2025, we are still together and still able to meet in our own building, our own property. We've also been in a position to lease our properties to building users. And while we're able to collect some rent from some of these users, our primary concern isn't making money, but it's making available this blessing so that we can be a blessing to others. And also, we are trying to make this building and meeting place a better place to meet, make it cleaner and more suitable for our meeting needs. Now, there are challenges with that, and I may share some of those by the end of this sermon. At the end of the year or beginning of the year, I always feel it's appropriate for me to personally share my gratitude and thanks to this church family for taking care of me and my family. Most of you know, but some of you may not know, that this church provides me a salary, which allows me to do full-time ministry. I don't have to have work another job. I'm able to do this and pour my life and heart full-time into this ministry, and that is due to the generosity of this church. And it's not only your financial support, but your spiritual support and just your support of me as I have grown in ministry. In July, it will be 23 years that I have served this church. That is no small feat, and I don't owe that to me. I owe that to God, and I owe that to this loving family for having me for so long. So thank you, Christy and I, my family, thank you for taking care of us over the past year and since we've been here. 2024 was a year, and not without its challenges. Brother Nick alluded to their challenges, or I like to call them growth edges. I don't like using the word weaknesses, and also some concerns. We mourned the loss of loved ones, some faithful members here, Keith Jordan among them. some former members, some loved ones, just in our families. 2024 brought with all its joys and good. It brought with it some grief. Yet we also celebrate it so much. We celebrated new births, dedicating a baby in this space where this church came together with a family and committed to helping this family raise their child in faith. There were marriages and as I alluded to before, baptisms. Our financial giving was incredible. Yet we saw the rise of energy costs, the cost of heating and keeping the lights on and running water. It grew dramatically, especially as the building is being used more. Our efforts to help those struggling basic necessities like groceries, utilities, saw a slight rise. Church folks are struggling to make ends meet. Still, the church rose to the occasion over and over again to meet some of these needs. Our support of local needs and needs abroad, they rise. And this church has risen to the occasion on multiple occasions to meet those needs. Our ministry partners in Guyana and Honduras and Philippines all boast of the spread of the kingdom of God. Men and women and children are becoming disciples of Jesus all over the planet. And we are doing our part to advance those efforts, particularly in those three areas in Guyana, Philippines, and in the Honduras. Men, women, and children are being baptized into Jesus Christ, and the word of God is being spread. Praise the Lord. And now, on this first Sunday of 2025, what does God have in store for us going forward? Earlier, I read the story from the Gospel of Matthew. It's a story that's most associated, or we associate with, the Christmas story, and we sing songs, you know, we three kings and of Orient are. It's a story that we affix and usually talk about during the Christmas season. Traditionally, we have affixed that there were three of these magi or wise men come to visit Jesus. Actually, the text doesn't tell us how many there were. I suppose we affix three people because there were three gifts given that we'll talk about in a bit. But we don't know how many there were. Could have been two, could have been ten. We don't know. We know that it was a multiple amount of individuals in this story. A couple of observations about this text in Matthew. To be quite frank and honest, it's kind of strange. Like, who were these magi? Some of your texts say magi. My text says wise men. Like who were they? Where were they from? It just says they were from the east. Many scholars believe that they were from Persia, modern-day Iran. Could have been further east, India, China. I don't know. But they were from the east, and they travel, and they just kind of show up out of nowhere. What we do know is that they weren't Jewish. We have an Old Testament full of stories of Israel and Judah, the story of the Jews and the religion of the Jews, Judaism. We have all this information about them and these individuals that come into the story of Matthew. They're not Jewish. They're not from the region. They're from the East. Magi translates into wise men or astrologers, and so some believe that they were somehow into the astrology and the study of stars and constellations. And some have even affixed that they had some magic with them, but whoever they, it's just kind of weird. It's kind of mysterious. Like, who were these people? They obviously had some power or prowess in dreams or interpreting dreams, and they seemed to come out of nowhere, and they make their way into the most important story, the most important person in our faith, Jesus. Here I like to offer that mystery and wonder and uncertainty has always been a part of the story of God. We don't have to be afraid of mystery and the unknown and uncertainty. I know that as humans, we are wired to have to know everything. I need to know every step. I need to know A through Z, one through gazillion. I need to know everything. I have to be in control of everything. I need to be in the know for everything. But the story of faith is one that we don't necessarily know everything. We don't walk by what we know. We walk by faith. That's what the scripture says, that we walk by faith and not by sight. I saw a funny the other day where the preacher says, poke your neighbor in the eye and say, we walk by faith and not by sight. Don't poke each other in the eye, y'all. Don't poke each other in the eye. We walk by faith and not by sight. As mysterious and as unknown as the Magi were, we do know that they were on a search for the one who was born to be king of the Jews. And they noted that they were following his star. There's another piece of the story that's kind of weird and mysterious, and we don't know what it's about. And I know many people have come together and said, well, the star, it was this, and it was that, and it was this, and so it was Halley's Comet. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the star was. I don't know what the inkling was. I don't know what they studied in their astrology books. I do know this. It's in the story of God, and the prime mover is really not the star. It's God, who puts in motion things that led the Magi to come and search for Jesus. The search of these non-Jews led to an encounter with the current king, King Herod. And Herod was not too pleased to hear that these men were searching for a new king, not named Herod. And when Herod asked them about their search, they replied with information that they had received, that they were following his star. And Herod consulted the chief priests, and they took him to scripture. They took him to Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, which is recorded in Matthew 2:6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Here the Magi following a star and now taking the word of the Lord, which leads them to then go to Bethlehem upon Herod's pushing and urging. Herod, feeling threatened, sends the Magi to Bethlehem to find this newborn king. The text says, so that he too pay homage. We'll read this. If you read the story after this, you'll see that he had no intention to pay homage. He wanted to murder this threat. And as the story goes, the Magi go to Bethlehem, following the star that rests upon the place where he was staying. They find the child who is to be born, and they worship, and they present gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts fit for a king, and signaling that this is the anointed one, the Messiah. Then, in a dream, they were warned of the danger of Herod, so they returned using an alternate route to avoid the king. Again, the oddity of this group, non-Jewish, but following prompts of God throughout. They seek, they worship, and they continue to follow the lead of God. There's much to glean from this non-Jewish band of astrologers. I don't know what this star was that led them. I don't know if it was Halley's Comet or some other comet. I don't know. I have no clue. Some suggest it was the brilliance based on a combination of constellations. I have no clue. But as the prophets and the psalmists all attest, this is the movement of God that was going to shake the world's foundations. And here is this non-Jewish group of astrologers being caught up and included in the grand story of God. They, because of this prompting, are able to come into contact with the King of the world. And no doubt their lives would be changed forever. There is no less an invitation and opportunity for all of us in 2025 to follow God's guiding light. I find it fascinating that in this early narrative regarding the birth of Jesus, we see non-Jews, strangers, and foreigners being the ones that took very seriously what God was doing in the world. They took serious what they were seeing in the skies. They took serious what the prophets of old were saying about the birth of the Messiah. This indicates and fully supports message in the Gospels and all throughout Scripture that the birth of Jesus was not just meant for one particular group of people, but that the presence of Jesus in this world was for all people, for all nations, for all races, for all peoples, for all cultures, for all languages, and all social groups, and all socioeconomic groups. This King was not just King of Jews, but would be King of the entire globe, for the entire world. And thus, the prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. The whole earth now stands as recipients of the light of God, where darkness cannot penetrate, even though darkness still resides. As people around this country celebrated a new year, darkness struck. It struck as a sick individual believed it to be his mission to drive a pickup truck down Bourbon Street in New Orleans, killing 14 and injuring dozens of others. Darkness still exists. While progress in preventing violence in Central Ohio is being made, there still were, I believe, 124 homicides in Central Ohio. Darkness still exists. Poverty and the problem of homelessness is on the rise with the ridiculous increase in rental and housing costs. Darkness still exists. Still, we are ones who will arise because the light of Jesus has come. And we are the ones who now follow the guiding light of Jesus in order to proclaim the good news of Jesus. And we, in 2025, will endeavor as individuals to seek Jesus with all of our hearts and with all of our soul and with all of our mind and with all of our strength. We seek Jesus with hearts of worship and wonder. We seek him even in the midst of uncertainty and mystery and not having all the answers. And so, like the Magi, we're presented with this choice. Will we follow that guiding light? In 2025, this will mean that this church will be a collection of determined hearts willing to follow God's guiding light into deeper and more committed relationships with Jesus. I will encourage you always to invest in yourselves and in your spiritual walk. Pray to God. Read your Bibles. Spend time in silence. Spend time with some new holy habits and creating a culture in your life that nourishes your soul and nurtures your spiritual growth. Coming and participating in the worship service of the Lord with the saints, that can only do you good. Make a commitment this year to be here as many Sundays as you can. I know we travel and we get sick, but if we are healthy and we're well, don't forsake time with the saints of God. In 2025, we will be a collection of committed hearts who will not contain our enthusiasm for our life in Christ. Late last year, I preached a sermon series, Each One, Reach One. I'm going to encourage everyone in here to just reach one person for Jesus, one person in your sphere of influence that needs to know the good news and message of God. Share that with them. That might mean that they come to church with you here. That might mean that they go to church somewhere else. It doesn't really matter to me as much as we take serious the call from God to share with others the life that's within us, so that we would each one, share with someone, inviting others to make Jesus their guiding light. In 2025, we will be a collection of committed hearts who will be willing to serve the needs of the world. If you are currently serving in a ministry, continue to serve and increase your serve and your commitment to that ministry. If you're not currently serving in a ministry, by the end of 2025, I would love for you to say, this year I started serving in a ministry, a life-giving service, sacrificing myself for the good of others. In 2025, we will be a collection of committed hearts who will not be deterred by financial challenges, societal pressures, or the darkness that still exists. I shared earlier that we have some financial challenges coming. It will mean that as more committed servants of God, we'll give more. We'll give a little bit more. We will continue to unite even as society pressures us to differentiate based on our politics or our race or other lines of demarcation. That's the pressure we have. It's to separate and divide. If you're a Democrat, you go over there. If you're a Republican, you go over there. If you're black, you go over there. If you're white, you go over there. We refuse to bow down to that societal pressure. We will unite and harmonize and come together in spite of what society says. That's what happens when we commit to the way of God. I think I lost a page here. We will find a way to connect to those who have been troubled and connect to those who are in trouble. We don't walk away from the challenge of those who are experiencing trouble or who are in trouble. So what can you and I do as we look forward to what God will do in 2025? Well, in simple terms, it's going back to our vision. It's connecting to God no matter the threats. It's connecting to people no matter the obstacles. It's connecting to our purpose no matter what the barriers. 2025 will present a set of challenges for us. As we move forward, we are finalizing our budget for 2025. We have noted a slight deficit. It's not an insurmountable deficit. It will mean that as individual family units, we will need to consider giving a little bit more. But an extra $5 or $10 a week, while significant, it isn't really what's going to make the big difference. The big difference is when we give an extra dose of heart, commitment, and dedication. As we look forward to 2025 and all that presents, let's endeavor to walk in the light. Let's endeavor to declare that Jesus is a light and we will follow that light. And know that there's going to be Herods in our way. There's going to be confusion and doubt in our way. But let's continue to follow the light. I love in the story that the Magi, it seems based on the reading of that story, that they came, they presented their gifts to the king, they paid homage, and they intended to go the exact same route back home. But they were warned in a dream that Herod was a threat, and so they took another direction. It may be that men are doing good and well on our path, but in some areas we might have to just take another direction. That's okay. And it presents its own set of fears and anxiety and uncertainties. But it's okay just as long as we continue to follow the light. Amen? If we keep Jesus as our focus, as we keep the brilliance of his light as our focus. Let's watch a short video, then we'll sing a song of invitation.
To take a step in the dark is scary, but we don't walk alone. God goes before us, beside us, and is a light unto our path. God calls us to take that first step, to put one foot in front of the other, to walk with boldness, knowing that he will illuminate every one of our steps, to trust him and walk by faith, not by sight. He promises to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path in whatever season of life, in whatever circumstance of life. So whether it's a new year, a new season, or a new day, we don't go at it alone. God goes before us. He lights each one of our steps. He fuels our faith with the same power that raised Christ from the dead, empowering us to keep putting one foot in front of the other. In the midst of darkness, remember that he knows the way. He has a plan for your today and all of your tomorrow. So today, with every step that you take, remember that he is with you. Remember that he is for you. Remember that he is constant. And remember that he is never changing. He knows exactly where you've been, and he knows exactly where you're going. So may you walk in the light of his truth. And may you always put your trust in the one who will forever be the light unto your path.
I think you all know that I love sports and competition, and I love football. I'm as a football fan, I'm having a good year. I root for the Buffalo Bills and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We're having a good year. What I love when I'm watching football and I see these men, 200, 300 pounds, like giving their all on every play. I watch these players do things in a game, like putting their full bodies on the line just to get like 3 inches. They need 3 inches for a first down, and they run at full speed. They put everything into what they are doing just to gain 3 inches. In sports, on our jobs, it's amazing the amount of effort and energy we put into to excel, to perform, to get the job done. I wonder if we as God's people would be willing to put forth that same amount of energy and effort in our walk with God. I'm talking about putting everything in, withholding nothing. No hesitation, full throttle, pedal to the metal, metal to the pedal. What? I'm talking about all in. What if all of us, with the same energy that that gladiator on the football field put into gaining 3 inches, we put that same energy into connecting to God, connecting to people, and connecting to purpose? What if we withheld nothing and surrendered it all? It's fearful. It's uncertain. It's mysterious. But I tell you, the benefits for this planet would be overwhelming. And so today's invitation for 2025 is for us to follow this guiding light and withhold nothing. Give it all to God. Commit today. God, 2025, you have everything. You have my mind. You have my heart. You have my soul. You have my ambition. You have my energy. You have my finances. You have my home. You have my family. You have everything. Withholding nothing. I invite you to stand and sing this song as a song of commitment. It also serves as a song of invitation. If there is something that we can pray for you, something that is on you, that you know what? I know we're supposed to leave things in 2024, but it's still on my back and I'm still carrying it. If you need us to surround you to pray for that thing, why don't you just step forward and let us surround you and pray for you? That's another thing that we withhold. There are burdens that we have. Let's give it all to God. Let's endeavor to walk in this light. Let's stand, let's sing together.